Welcome back, everybody, to We Are TPM with myself, Kyle Scherer, once again sitting next to John Scherer. And this week we have Stephen Andrews, the author of his new book, The New American Dream, and founder of SOAR-X Consulting. Thank you for being here today, Stephen.
Yep, thank you so much for having me.
If you guys like anything we talk about on this podcast or want to reach out to us in any way, give us a call, 817-818-9039. Shoot us an email at showmethemoney@wearetpm.com. Let's get into it. Thanks for coming out, Stephen. We just kind of want to start today with letting you talk about this book you just released.
Absolutely. You know, the book's called The New American Dream, and it really goes my story really started a decade ago, and really a little bit longer than a decade ago. When I was growing up, my parents owned a business and blue collar workers, and I knew I wanted to be an entrepreneur, and I didn't necessarily know what that meant, but I knew I wanted to be a business owner, and I went to High Point University, where I took a real estate class my senior year, and I fell in love with real estate. You know, the project in the class was you had to buy, or you know, hypothetically buy an apartment complex in Chicago and make it profitable the first year. And if you did that, you passed the class. If you didn't do that, then you didn't get a great grade. And I just knew that real estate was something that I wanted to do. And fast forward a few years after that, I was $75,000 in student loan debt, making $45,000 a year. And being a retail store manager, and I knew I wanted something more. And I started thinking about my time back at High Point and knowing that I really wanted to get into real estate. And so luckily my dad knew a gentleman that was local to where I live, and he was looking at downsizing his rental portfolio, and I was looking at getting in the business. And so it just made so much sense for us to link up, and he become a mentor and really has become such a great friend over the last decade. And now you fast forward the 10 years that I've been in this business, several hundred rental units later, flip houses now, loan money now. And about 2 years ago, you know, during COVID, I had several different realtors, several different investors say, people want to know what you know. There's not a ton of stuff out there that really trains people how to buy single family homes, duplexes, triplexes, quadplexes. But there's plenty of stuff out there. Hey, if you want to buy apartments or a bigger portfolio, but yeah, you know, there's not a lot of one-on-one stuff or not a lot of courses. And that really got me thinking about, okay, I could put this knowledge into a book. And so, my book released this past week, The New American Dream, A Simple Roadmap to Purchase and Investment Properties. I've just been overwhelmed and by the outpouring of support. It hit number one bestseller on Amazon, which never in a million years would I have dreamed of that happening. And I really hope this book helps people find their passion in real estate. And really, the book is a roadmap of the last decade of being in this business, from what's first things are first to maintenance to finance and to how you do the rental process, to how you build authentic relationships. And then the final chapter, which I really love, is when's enough enough? And I'm sure we'll get to that topic here in a few, but certainly I'm very passionate about kind of helping that next generation get into real estate and hopefully have the same success I've had.
So, Stephen, I'm glad that you said that. And that was a great way to end what you just said, because what I wanted to ask you about, what I really wanted to drill down within your story is, I like to try to find whenever we're interviewing somebody or we're talking about somebody's story, I like to try to find those moments or those intangible things that happened or caused you to actually take action. And the reason why I say that is because there's so many people that listen to us. They listen to podcasts like ours. There's a ton of podcasts like this, right? And everybody's got something to say and everybody's got their knowledge that they want to put out there in real estate. But the one thing that is the differentiator between you and I and everyone else listening is that we have taken some action and actually moved in toward our dreams and toward that wealth building goal. And I understand how hard that is for the average person to do. And if there's any way that you can help articulate how somebody listening can actually do that by demonstrating maybe how you did it.
Absolutely. You know, I think that I have a saying now, and I didn't have this saying 10 years ago when I was trying to get into real estate, but I have the saying now that the best blessings in life, you have to get out of your comfort zone to get them, mm-hmm. you know, and you're not going to get, you know, the blessings that you really want being in your comfort zone. And, you know, when I think about the time from High Point University in that real estate class to the time I got into real estate, it was about 4 years and I was scared. You know, just like with anything, you know, that's human nature. You know, if someone out there right now is feeling scared, should I take the leap of faith and get in this business? That is a natural reaction. Mm-hmm. Your brain is wired to stay in your comfort zone, and anything you try new, it's going to make you feel a little bit uncomfortable. And so it took me several years to actually pull the trigger. And some of the things that were going through my mind, you know, what if I don't succeed? You know, what if it's not rented? How am I going to be able to make the payment? Am I good enough to do this? You know, for me, there was a stigma of that you had to be well connected and you had to have money to get into real estate. And that's just so far from the truth. Mm-hmm. But that's what your brain tells you, mm-hmm. Because you don't have the experience, mm-hmm. And you've never done it before. Mm-hmm. And so, what I would tell people, and for me, looking back on it, I'm so glad that I took that leap of faith. You know, for one, I surrounded myself with people that knew far more than me. So if you're looking at getting into this business, you don't have to do it alone. There's so many different avenues, so many different podcasts, so many different people, probably local, that you don't even think about that could potentially be a mentor for you. Reach out to those people. One thing that I've really learned about real estate, it is a fraternity of men and women that truly care about, you know, people being successful. And so there's sometimes I'll have conversations with complete strangers that own real estate, but it's like there's a connection there because real estate's what brought us together. Hmm. And so reach out to people that have been there before you. Do your homework. So my mentor wanted me to read a book called Building Wealth by Russell Whitney. The book was originally published in the 90s, and then he put out a updated version in the 2000s. But it's still relevant to this day on how you can really be successful in real estate. And that kind of helped lay the foundation for me. And then you got to take this first step. First step's always going to be the hardest. Yep. But if you don't take the first step, you're never going to get in this business. You know, I hear all the time now, well, you know, interest rates are so high and I don't, you know, prices are high, you know, should I do it? Here's the thing. I tell people, I never buy a property based on real estate. So if that's your number one fear on why not to get into real estate, put that to the side. The way I look at it, real estate is the only thing in this world that you can use someone else's money to buy. Someone else makes your mortgage payment and you profit money every single month, along with appreciating value over time. There's nothing else that I'm aware of that allows you to do that. And so put the fear aside, take that leap of faith, because if you do it the right way, you can be extremely successful at it. You know, whatever you want your dreams to be, if that's one property, get one property. If it's 10, get 10. I know when I first got in this business, I only wanted 10, 15 properties, just some secondary income. Mm-hmm. And then it was like, I'm kind of addicted to this thing and I don't want to stop at 10 or 15. Mm-hmm. And so then it became a full-time job for me. And I am so glad that I took that leap of faith and got out of my comfort zone a decade ago, which is very hard. I'm not saying it's easy. You know, you're going to have doubts at times and that sort of thing. But I think if you do all the right things, you're going to be okay.
Because that knowledge lets you, you know, knowledge is what helps you overcome the fear, right? And once you overcome that fear, you get, you know, your new comfort zone is what used to be your fear. Now, building right. rental portfolios is your new comfort zone. That's so exactly that's really where you want to go. You did a great job at articulating a summary of what everything we try to talk about on this podcast. I love it. So, I can't wait to read your book, actually. So.
he talked about taking that first step too. And sometimes, let's see if you agree with this, Stephen. Sometimes that first step is telling other people, especially the ones that are going to be supportive to you and the people that are around you that you love, that care about you, telling them what they think. A lot of people do, they have these ideas, they have these dreams because they're driving around in their car listening to something or whatever, but they never tell anybody about it. They're like ashamed or afraid to tell anybody, think that people are going to think they're crazy. It reminds me yesterday when I hope I'm not throwing my assistant under the bus, but she's trying to quit vaping. And she said, I'm struggling today out loud. And she told the whole team that I'm struggling today for the first time in a long time. I'm really struggling. I said, you know how I know you're going to get through today? Because you just put it out there to the whole team and held yourself accountable. We're all here for you. And we're all going to help you get through today. And it's the same kind of thing for taking that first step, right, Stephen? I mean, like, tell the people around you love that, you know what, this seems like something I really want to do. And I've been reading this guy Stephen's book, and I've been listening to John and Kyle's podcast, and I really kind of want to do this. And I think I'm going to take this first step so that you can get – you're going to get naysayers, but you're also going to get supporters, right, that are going to understand what your goals are. Would you agree with
absolutely,
that?
You know, absolutely. You know, I think that you need to tell people that you care about, especially your tribe of people, your close-knit friends or family, and whether they support it or not, right? You know, it's, you know, you're always going to have a certain percentage. Are you sure you want to do that? Mm-hmm. You know, they're always going to ask that, right? I had the same thing whenever I got in this business.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have to keep in mind that,
they have,
you know,
a
not
zone.
Everybody has that mentality, mm-hmm. that they want to grow a business, or you know, they might not have the same mindset that you do.
That's right.
But I do 100% agree. You know, I would tell people. I know when I first got in this business, I told my parents, told my brother, and told my mentor, told some of my friends. I didn't tell the whole world. You know, I didn't do a Facebook post that hey, I want to create a rental business, but I did tell the people around me, because you're right. You know, if other people know, well, then they can help mm-hmm. guide you. They can help,
look for opportunities,
you know, tell you, hey, you know, you can do this,
mm-hmm.
they can push you in the right direction. Mm-hmm. And so, I think that is so, beneficial, you know, when you do that. But just keep in mind, there's always going to be one person that says, are you sure you want to do it? And you are the only one that can determine whether or not you want to do it or not. You know, so if you believe in yourself, if you want to do it, if you've done the research, it's okay for the naysayers to say that. That's their opinion. But at the end of the day, you get to make mm-hmm. the final decision whether or not you want to do it.
Yeah, because you can use both as your accountability, you know.
Yep.
You use the people supporting you to push you forward, and you use the naysayers to prove them wrong. So
yep.
That's right.
That's right.
That is right.
We're pride-based animals, so that's
that's right.
That's the best way to get it done, right? So,
Kyle, I have a question for Stephen. What do you – your book is called The New American Dream. Differentiate what that means to you versus – what we call the American dream now, or the old American dream. What do you mean by that?
Right. So when I started thinking about a title, you know, for the book, I started thinking about what my parents would tell me as a little kid about what the American dream was. And so American dream for my parents' generation was more, hey, you know, especially for real estate, you know, certainly there's different aspects of what American dream is for different industries and stuff. But for the American dream when they were growing up, hey, we want to own our own property and live in it. You know, a lot of people didn't necessarily say our American dream was to all we want to do is own real estate. And so when I started thinking about the younger generation now, a lot of them don't care about owning the property they live in. They're fine with renting because they want to move around. They don't want to be tied to one location. But a big percentage of them also want to own real estate. And so when I started thinking about that, to me, for the younger generation, the new American dream for them is I want to own rental property. And that's my focus. I'm less focused about the property I own that I live in. Hmm. And I want to build something for the future. And that's really, you know, how I got the kind of the namesake for the book, because I do believe there is a movement in this country where, especially for the younger generation, that they care less about that and care more about income producing properties.
Interesting. We talk a lot about, Kyle, about making that first rental property being the home that, or your first property being the home you live in, right? Like that's how you get into real estate traditionally. And you're suggesting that the newer generations are looking at buying rental properties and then renting, not even owning the home that they live in. That's
yep. I have seen, and I did something very similar. So I owned about 35 units before I even owned my own house, you know, wow. So, I still lived at home there. Again, I was making $45,000 a year, $75,000 in student loan debt. I didn't have a lot of money left at the end of the day to own a property if I wanted to, that was not income producing. But there is a percentage of younger people that are starting to do that. And I'm not saying that is the right way to do it. I believe you should own the property where you live because there's so many benefits to that from a tax standpoint, mm-hmm. from a wealth building standpoint. To me, that makes sense. I don't necessarily agree that, you know, just rent, even though I'm a landlord,
yeah.
I love renters, right? That's right. The business I'm in. But I do think that people that all they do is rent where they live and then they start buying properties. I think at some point you really have to own the property you live in, I believe, because it helps you build wealth. And, you know, there's just so many different things. It appreciates over time. But that's certainly my take on it.
Well, and I mean, you know, I love the name because, you know, I talked to a lot of my friends and you're right. The new American dream involves where you can't just, you know, go to college, get that job, and buy a house and get the level of wealth that you want. The new American dream involves passive income, unless you're going to start a business, which we can get into how this is starting a business regardless, right? But essentially building sources of passive income is what everybody talks about, because you can still have that dream job, but to get to where you want to go, you know, especially with the way our world has gone and wages have gone, you know, you need to have sources of passive income, and real estate continues to be the best way to build that, and, you know, recession proof and all these other things. So,
absolutely. And plus, you know, the great thing is, and I mentioned this earlier, you can build great wealth using someone else's money.
Yeah.
You know, so the stock market, you have to have your money to make money. Right. Mm-hmm. So like if you're, you know, for me, you know, I come from a middle class family and, you know, I was in all that debt. You know, this was my option. Right. And it's something that I absolutely love doing. But it's also so great because at the end of the day, you know, I tell people I own several hundred rental units. I don't have a dime of my own money tied up in it.
Yeah.
So it's such a great avenue for you to really build wealth, and you don't have to have your own money tied up in it. And to your point, you know, it's so hard nowadays to work, you know, a 9-to-5 job for 30, 40 years. You know, your retirements don't keep up with how much everything's appreciated or inflation or anything like that. I mean, it's just so impossible. I just don't know what the future necessarily holds for a lot of that, you know, just because rents at an all-time high, you know, interest rates are above where they are historically. You know, prices are at all-time. I mean, it's just so much is at an all-time high where it just makes it so hard to not have some sort of passive income or some sort of secondary income that helps out.
Yeah, because I mean, it's we talk about a lot. It's, and just like you're saying, it's the best retirement you can put in place, right? Because mm-hmm. and it's generational wealth. If you build it, it's not just retirement; it can be passed along. So it sounds like we talk a lot about on this podcast the tools. We like to call them the tools of building wealth with real estate, because there's all these different pieces where, like you said, OPM, other people's money, right? You don't have any money in real estate. Well, a big problem I hear people talk about is everybody says you can do these things, but nobody tells you how. Sounds like in this roadmap, you probably talk actually about the nitty gritty tools that you use to get from, you know, a $45,000 a year job and $75,000 in debt to where you are today. Is there a lot of that in your book?
Absolutely. You know, it's everything that I have learned over the last decade. You know, from first things first to maintenance, how to handle maintenance vendors or people that you might have on payroll, to how to hold them accountable, how to follow up, even if you don't know that much about maintenance, to how you handle the locals, so your local governments, whether it's the code enforcement guys or planning or inspections to how to finance, how to build a relationship with someone that's going to finance your dreams, to the rental process. I outline exactly what all I do for the rental process in the book as well. And then, you know, it's all there. You know, there's things out there that don't tell everything. And I just felt like for me, I wanted to tell everything. You know, there's no point in leaving out anything. And so I hope this book kind of takes people to that level. And it has a lot of real world experience in it. And that's the one thing that I started thinking about the book that helped me get in this business, Building Wealth, by Russell Whitney. Yeah. It has so many real life experiences in it that I almost felt like I was having a conversation with the person because I was gaining knowledge. I was gaining real life experience. And there's a huge difference between textbook knowledge and real life experience knowledge. There is a huge difference in that. And I really think that this is really going to help people out and get them the information that they need to know, because it's a lot of information and it all builds on one another. You know, it's not like you learn this process and then you never learn again. If you don't build the foundation, then the rest of the house you build is going to cave in because you don't have the right foundation to keep you in place.
And that experience that you build by doing things and taking that action is on top of learning from other people and your mentors and reading. And I mean, you put all that together, we all have to, right? Like Kyle and I read stuff and we listen to other people's stuff all the time. And we just find little stuff that we take. But we also have a bunch of experience to lean on that makes all of this a little bit easier for us. You know what I mean? I don't know.
I think confidence. That's
exactly right. You know, I think some of the best experience you can get is doing it for yourself. You know, sometimes I don't look at quote unquote failures as failures. I look at that as learning. You know, sometimes you got to make some mistakes to learn from it. And I believe some of the best blessings in life as well is when you make a mistake, you know, when you have a quote unquote failure, but you learn from it. It's only a failure if you don't learn from it. If you learn from it, it's something that's going to be so valuable down the road from you.
Yeah, and even use numbers in failure, right? Like, I mean, I had a conversation the other day with somebody who told me about a $10,000masterclass on how to do real estate. Who's afraid to lose a little bit on a deal? Well, you know, you're paying to learn, right? So even in these failures along your journey, you may be paying to fail in that scenario too, because it's all mindset. You know, you have to overcome your own mindset to carry on and. I've seen too many times, and I'm sure you have, that one failure can set back a whole journey that could have landed you could, at the end of it, you could have 10 properties where you could have had 100, right? And, you know, take that next step and jump over that failure. It's really a learning.
That's right. Yep, that's 100% right. And I think a lot of people think that their journey should be like you're on a roller coaster and you're starting to go up the hill, and it's just a constant going up a hill. And that is not the way this journey's going to be. There's going to be valleys. I mean, it's going to be like a yo-yo. You're going to have highs, you're going to have lows, and you just have to anticipate that and just know that the lows don't have to define you, but the highs don't have to define you either, as long as you're learning and you're still heading in the right direction. And so I do think people forget about that. You know, I think most people just want it constant. They don't want to have to deal with any heartache or headaches or anything like that, or failures, but that's a part of life. And so that's definitely a part of real estate too. And there's just going to be some there. And so just stay encouraged. If you're experiencing some of that right now, I've experienced it too. I've experienced some this year, right? So it's just one of those things, you know, not everything's going to work out in your favor and it's not always going to go the way you want it to go, but that's the way life works. And so just don't get down on that. Just continue to stay encouraged. And that's what having a good mentor, having a good support system around you will help you when the days that you might not feel like, you know what, I just want to give up. I don't want to do this or you know what, my tenant trashed my house or whatever the case may be, they can encourage you when you might not be able to encourage yourself that day.
Yeah, I mean, because when you look back, I mean, it's happened to us too, right? It is the building blocks of the journey. And when you have success and you look back on it, it's almost like you remember the steps in your journey as those failures. You're like, that's the failure I overcome. That's the project that failed that I overcome. Looking at it today, you know, the great thing about real estate is most failures can be turned into successes over time. You know, that you already talked about how it's the only piece where you can, you know, use other people's money and do all these things. Well, there's also avenues that can pretty much help turn any failure into a success. And whether it's just from learning or from time making up for the profit and loss, if you want to look at the numbers, it's just, there's so many tools that you can use to get yourself out of it. So, and that's what builds confidence. So sounds like you didn't have a direct line journey up either. So,
that reminds me of our discussion on the way over here. We talked about it in a past episode we did, Stephen, and it was called How You Can Do This All Wrong and Still Win. Because Kyle and I are a big believer. We get to watch people do this all the time. And it always amazes me how badly people do real estate. But in the end, they still win. They didn't win as big as I think they could have, maybe, if they had done things some differently. But is that a statement you'd agree with?
Absolutely. You know, I think, you know, certainly thinking about my own journey or thinking about other people that have been in this business, you know, for instance, just had this happen this past month. I'm selling a few properties and just to kind of capitalize on the high market. And I've had two different deals fall through, you know, so wasn't anything on my side that we did wrong. Properties were good. I have an investor realtor. So there is a huge difference between, and I think people need to know this, there's a huge difference between a realtor that sells a house you're going to live in and a realtor that is selling you an investment property. Mm-hmm. And so there's a huge difference. Mm-hmm. And so for me, I've had two different deals fall through because the buyer had the wrong type realtor that did not have the information they needed to lead them in the right direction. You know, they were looking at, they sold luxury homes. And so luxury homes and rental properties is way different. And so I think about the failure. So both deals fell through. I mean, it was over $1 million worth of deals that fell through. And so, you know, if I would have just gotten down on that and said, you know what, that's just bad, we failed, I'd be down in the dumps, right? Mm-hmm. But here's the thing. Those properties are now under contract with a different buyer that has an investor realtor. And at some point, hey, we're going to get that deal done. And so you don't have to have one thing define you one way or the other as long as you continue to move forward.
Well, I love it. I love your disposition and your attitude, Stephen. And one of the things I was thinking about as we're doing this, sometimes I try to put myself in the mind of the person listening. I know that one of the things you said is still kind of sticking with me because I know for a fact that there's people out there thinking, yeah, right. He doesn't have a dollar in this. Everyone, Kyle and I have talked a lot about all the different acquisition methods and all the different kinds of financing you can do, from private money to hard money to conventional financing to buying your primary residence and then buying another primary residence, which is how most people get in their first rental property. I mean, we've done it all on this podcast. I don't think we've run across anybody that has claimed that they don't have a single dollar in any of their deals.
Yeah. And you know what? I say that because when I first bought my first rental house, I didn't have any money. I literally, there was a bank, local bank, that I applied for a credit card and I got a cash advance off the credit card for the down payment. Don't get me wrong. This was 10 years ago. The credit card interest rate was 7%, much different than today. Credit card, that same credit card is in the 20%. Mm-hmm. And so even in the beginning, my down payment was borrowed money. Mm-hmm. I even used the money that I took off the credit card to fix the house up. So really how my deals have worked, you know, those first two properties that I bought, used a credit card for the down payment, the bank financed it. I went in, I buy the worst house on the block. You know, that's my man mentality, that's my strategy. And there's so much upside to buying the worst house on the block, because if you buy the best house on the block, someone else is getting paid for all the work you have done or all the work that was done in that property. Where if you buy the worst house on the block, and I'm not saying one that needs to be tore down, but one that's more just cosmetic issues, and you can look past that, you can make it one of the best. It's going to appreciate in value so much more because you're getting a discount on that property if it needs work. And so that's what I've done. I bought worst house on the block, went in, pulled money off the credit card to purchase it for my down payment. The bank financed it, pulled more money off the credit card to do the repairs. And then what I did, as soon as the repairs were done, I took it straight back to the bank and refinanced it.
There you go.
And so what I did now, the property's worth more. Pulled my working capital out of the property. Now, I didn't 100% pull everything out. You know, I still had a good 80% loan to value in it. But now I was able to pay the credit card off. I was able to put some money in my pocket that I didn't go buy a nice fancy boat or a nice fancy car with it. I used that money to then roll into the next deal. And so I have done that for every single one of my deals. And so that's why I tell people, you know, I don't have any of my own money in it because initially I didn't. And I've never put any of money into any of it. You know, it's always been loan money that I've used to continue to grow my rental business. And it has worked so well. That is how you can really scale it if you want to. There are some stipulations. Sometimes banks won't refinance it right away. Some banks want you to hold it 6 months and that sort of thing. But there's a way you can get construction loans. I mean, there's just so many different creative ways to do it. And so my story is different because a lot of people would say, you know, they get caught up on you used a credit card as your down payment. I did, you know, because I didn't have the money. You know, I knew that was a barrier for me and I knew I had to get over that barrier. And so I looked for ways to get over the barrier, and I didn't just let that one no stop me.
Well, and it's not to say that you weren't at personal risk, right? You know, that's still your credit card. It's still your debt. So, but you can use other people's money and succeed in this avenue. So you said something about picking the worst house on the block but not doing a teardown. If you can't see through those you know, a lot of investors succeed because people can't see through those cosmetic issues. You also said something that we can't emphasize enough, that having an investor realtor, I love the way you put that, is so important because there's a huge difference between really realtors that can see through that and can't, because they can't advise you properly without that experience and that knowledge. And that's probably the biggest point of failure that we see in our business is, you weren't advised properly at acquisition. And that's so important.
Yep. And I've seen it so many times where investors have asked me, hey, is this a good deal? And I run the numbers. I look at the picture. Yep. It all makes sense. And they say, well, hey, my realtor says this house just needs to be torn down. And I said, well, how many investment properties has your realtor sold? Well, you know, they normally, you know, in a little bit different of a market. And I said, well, you know, nothing against your realtor, but you probably have the wrong realtor. You know, they might be a nice person, but you really need to find the realtor that can see, you know what, there's a hole in this wall, or, hey, you know what, we need to change out some doors and some light fixtures, but that's pennies on the dollar compared to going to find the best house on the block. And there's not that many realtors out there can do that, because you're human, the human side of it all, the human nature says, hey, this house should look the way it looks for the house that I live in, you know?
Yeah.
And you're right. You know, maybe you want to rent it out that way, but it doesn't have to look that way when you buy it. And so especially cosmetic stuff, it's so easy to take care of cosmetic stuff. And you're right. You know, most people can't look past it. And that's how you get the good deal. That's you get the discount. And then, you know, because they can't see past it. And so there's so many people passing on it. And then when you come in and you can see past it, you know, it just makes it so much better.
Well, it goes back to Kyle and I use a term we call people make fear-based decisions all the time. And that's And so in this realm, that's what's happening, right? People don't know. We talked about experience, right? People don't know when they see something, they see a foundation cracking, or they hear that there's drain problems and they think, oh my gosh, that's thousands of dollars and there's no way I can deal with that. Well, to Kyle and I, we've dealt with that so many times. Like, those big, quote unquote, big issues aren't that big a deal. We know how to handle it. It's just time and money, right? And if the time and money that you're going to spend to fix the problem adds up in your formula as you're evaluating that deal, then do it and don't let that stop you.
Because when you buy rent ready, you're buying convenience, like you said. You're buying
somebody else's work.
Somebody else's work at a convenience, and great success never comes conveniently. It's very rare. You have to work at it. So, and that's what we try to tell people. Is
are we going to coin that phrase? Work. Do we need a TM on that? Or is that a...
That's exactly right. You know, I've always, every deal that I have made, it's been a business decision and do the numbers make sense.
Yep.
And it's less about how a property looks or what a neighborhood's like or anything like that. Because there again, I'm using someone else's money. So, you know, not, I don't want the fear to get in the way. And that is an art. That's not something that you're going to have day one. That is something that you get over time. But the only way you can get it over time is to lean in and do to it. That uncomfortable state and do the work, you know, put the time and effort into being able to make these decisions.
In time horizon, right? We're talking about rental portfolios here. So if you're looking at a 30-year time horizon and your numbers are profitable, you know, maybe they're not as, they're a little tighter than you'd expect, but you make the jump anyway because, you know, in 2-3 years, then it will be cash flowing, or, you know, even if it's not cash flowing day one. And that gets into the whole interest rates are so high right now and all that. Well, I mean, if you scoop up as much as you can, you're in on a long time horizon, then you're going to succeed. So that's
absolutely, you know, and I look at some of the deals I did 10 years ago, and they cash flowed then, but they cash flow like a champion now.
Yeah.
So rents have doubled and sometimes tripled, depending on what property I have, since I bought them 10 years ago or even 5 years ago. And so, you know, you want to evaluate a property. What is it going to do for me now? You know, can I at least get it to break even, or can I make some money on it? But then you also got to look into the future. And that's one thing that I did not do when I first got in this business, because there again, I didn't have the experience I needed to. It's like, you know what, if I can get a good price now, this is going to be a great price, you know, 10 years from now. You know, because it's going to appreciate over time. The rents are going to go up over time. And so just make sure you're just not looking at what is it going to do for me today. But you also got to ask the question. That's one question you need to ask. But you also got to ask the question, what is it going to do for me 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 15 years from now? Really, rental property is the long-term play. You know, it's not something that, you know, it's just a year play. You know, you're really looking into the future. And I like what you said earlier, you know, this is a retirement. And so I have a funny story. And when I tell the story, sometimes people say I was absolutely crazy for doing this, but I, from my rental management, days, I had a 401k. And so, I started running numbers and I said, you know what, like, you know, stock market goes up and down, and I was getting probably, you know, a little less than 10% return on my money. And I was like, you know, can I do something better with this money? And so I cashed out my 401k, took a 50% hit. This was January of the year that I did this. I went and bought a duplex that was getting me $2,500 a month, which I was not making $2,500 a month on my 401k. By the end of that year, I made up the 50% that I lost by taking out my 401k to buy the real estate. This was 5 years ago. I have made $2,500 a month most months since then.
It almost sounds like he's been listening to our podcast, huh?
You know, it's one of those things where real estate outperforms most things. And I'm not saying that that's right for everybody, right? Like, I'm not saying it made sense for me. I was in my early 30s and I said, you know what? I want to be able to control. I want to be able to put in the effort to make my money grow for me and to work for me. And what better way than real estate? You know, when it's in the stock market, someone else is doing that for you. And I'm not saying, like I said, I'm not saying that's for everybody, but you never know, it might make sense for somebody. Well, but I wanted to take that leap of faith. I betted on myself there.
And
it has paid off. That investment's tripled and quadrupled over the last 5 years.
So. I love it.
I love to hear it. And when you ask anybody who's succeeded on this journey, you know, ask any of us, the one thing we all have a strict similarity, in my opinion, on is when you ask us, what is your biggest regret? It's pretty much always the same answer, that I didn't buy more. You know,
didn't start sooner,
that I didn't buy more when rates were low, that I didn't buy more, you know, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, you know, not that that's a regret, just because you can always look back and see that would have, one more would have been how much more today, right? It would have over the long term succeeded. And, you know, you can't really say that for the stock market, unless you are the best stock picker ever. So
that's right.
Steven, this has been an extremely enlightening introductory conversation to you. I hope that anybody listening is really getting something from it, and they go out and buy your book and they listen to some more. And I hope that you're open to maybe coming on and diving into some of these topics, drilling down some of these specific topics a little bit more with us in the future. Would you be open to doing that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I'm kind of my next part of all this. I've had a ton of success in the real estate business, but I want to help kind of that next generation get into real estate. And so I would love to come back on and us do this again. This was so much fun, and I hope your listeners got a lot out of it as well.
I'm guessing, Steven, that you're right in between the two of us. I feel like he's the next generation. You don't look as old as me, so I'm just guessing you're somewhere between us.
You gotta remember, he can't
I'm 35.
See us.
There you go. See? Oh, he can't see us?
Yeah.
Oh, poor guy. Or actually, it's probably a good thing. Anyways, so, all right. Well, I hope you come back on. I hope you enjoyed the conversation as much as we did. I hope everyone out there got to learn something. And tell everyone, Steven, how do they go get your book? How do they reach you if they need to?
Absolutely. You know, so I do have a website, soaretzconsulting.com. That is soaretzconsulting.com. The book link's on the website. I also have a course that helps people get into the business. So I have a real estate course that dives even deeper into the topics that are in the book. You can also find the book on Amazon. It's called The New American Dream. If you type in New American Dream by Stephen Andrews, or excuse me, The New American Dream by Stephen Andrews, it will populate for you. There's three different books you can get: the ebook, paperback, hardback, and look forward to helping anybody that needs any help. You can also find me on social media, on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. Just type in Soaretz Consulting.
Well, that's awesome. And we appreciate you coming on, Steven. I mean, that's why we have people on to discuss their journey. You know, we've done these things, you've done these things. I'm going to read your book. And that's because there's always more you can learn in this business, no matter how much you've done. So we appreciate your time. Thanks for coming on. Hope to speak again. And we are TPM. Thank you guys for tuning in. Give us a call if you want to remind yourself of how to get that book or learn more from Steven. Give us a call, 817-818-9039. Shoot us an email at
showmethemoney@wearetpm.com,
and we are out.